Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
All right. How you doing, sir? Good to see you. Happy New Year. Here we go, huh? Here we go. 2026. You ready to go, my friend, in 2026? Good. So am I. All right, Reg, hit that button when I tell you. First, I'll give you the three S's. Star, smile, strong, and here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. Of course, it's always important to listen to the podcast every week, but I think it's just as important to get out there and tell your friends and tell your family, tell anybody who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. Of course, if you like what you've been listening to, whether you've been listening to us for now more than 500 episodes in almost 10 years, or perhaps you just found us over the last couple of weeks, whatever it's been. If you like what you hear and you want to hear more, you can always go to WGNRadio.com, go to the podcast section on the website, then go to the prompt for this specific podcast, and you will find tons and tons and tons of previous podcasts dating back a couple of 3 years or so, talking about a variety of subjects. As I say many times, it's always good to see where we've been so you know where we might be going. We've been going strong now for more than 500 episodes and almost 10 years. In fact, this year, 2026, in May, will be our 10th year. So big stuff. Last year, 500 episodes just before the year ended. And now 2026, we will be celebrating our 10th anniversary. So cool stuff going on. If you've been with us for 10 years or just 10 minutes, welcome aboard. And this is episode 502. So yes, here we are at the beginning of another year, 2026. Wow, it has a weird sound to it, doesn't it? 2025 sounded cool. As I've said many times, we like zeros and fives. 2025 sounded cool. 2026, interesting. Interesting. It's an even number, but it's like a six. It's not quite five, and it's closer to five than it is to the next zero. So we're kind of in the little, you know, limbo area there. You know, when you get to like 2028, then you could say, oh, we're almost at the end of the decade, but we're right in the middle right now. We just got to enjoy what we can as we go off to our fives and zeros. But looking back at 2025, it was an interesting year. I hesitate to say it was a bad year, because I don't know what it was like for you. But certainly on the wide scale, both globally and specifically nationally, it was a tough year. Let's put it that way. I don't want to go so far as to say it was bad, because there was good things that happened, and every year there are. But it did seem like 2025 just kept punching us every month, sometimes within the same month. There were right-left combinations and some left hooks that really were taking us. It was like, wow, what now? There were some good things, and hopefully for you personally, it was a good year. I have to be honest with you, and I'll talk about this a little later. It was a tough year for me too. We had some losses in the family, which were very sad, and we're still kind of mourning over. So that was sad. I had a few little disappointments throughout the year that happened. And so it was kind of a tough year too for me. There were some high points. Don't get me wrong. Had a lot of fun. Did some traveling and always have fun doing that. In fact, just a couple weeks ago, my wife and I, we just came back from a nice trip to Italy to celebrate our 35th wedding anniversary, which was in October, but we waited until December. We went to Italy for about 10 days, and we went to Florence and Bologna and Verona and Pisa. And Florence is one of my favorite cities in the world. Been there three times now over the last 35 years. This is the first time I really stayed there for an extended period of time. We did a lot of day trips to some of those other cities I was talking about. We stayed in Bologna as well, but we had a great time. And especially at the holidays, they had some great Christmas markets, and the cities were all lit up, and it was a great way to end the year. As I said, which was a tough year in many ways for us collectively as a nation, as a world. And as I said, I had a few little disappointments and setbacks as well as a major family member loss that sadly was not completely unexpected, no matter how you think you're prepared for something like that, you never are. And so we're still grieving. This happened in November, actually, to my wife's uncle's husband, who Joe, who passed away from pancreatic cancer. And he gave a tough battle for 3 years, almost three exact years, in fact. And so it was it wasn't that like it was unexpected, but as I said before, it's very tough. So as every year, there's high highs and there's low lows, and somewhere in the middle we get enough of the highs to offset the lows. And as I always say, personally, you know, I have my day planner. In fact, I bought my 2026 day. I've already felt like I'm in 2026 already for about 2 months already, almost, because I ordered my 2026 day planner in November and had it all filled out by mid-November for 2026. All the dates that you know about things, birthdays, weddings, anniversaries, whatever events might be coming up that you might be going for, doctor's appointments, any other appointments that you might have. You can always put those things down immediately. Of course, we never know what a new year is going to bring us, and those other days always get filled in with things. But I am always ready and prepared. I have been, it's already, what, the you know, the first couple, what, the almost the first week into the year, but I've already I had my daily planner, boom, on January 1st, old one from 2025, put back into the files. I've got a file cabinet of many of them from the last 10 or 15 years of all my daily planners. It's kind of fun, as I've done many times, go through month by month and pick out interesting things that happened. But I was all ready for 2026 in November. Yes, I'm a little anal. Yes, I am a little compulsive. No doubt about that. But when push comes to shove, I was ready to go. When January happened, one of the first things I did this is the difference between me and about everyone else in the world. Okay, so on New Year's Eve. While everybody else was celebrating and partying and auld lang syning and raising glasses and eggnog and everything else, I would say probably about 12:03 on January 1st, 12:03 a.m., I went to the drawer that I keep my daily planner in. I had both of them. I had the 2025 on the top. I had the 2026 underneath it. And I was all ready to go. I moved out whatever papers that were, you know, that are in there, whatever. I had it all ready to go. And about 12:03, I would say, after we did our little, you know, New Year's celebration, I went to the drawer, pulled it out, took the 2025 out, and took that one out of the drawer, put it away, and boom, 2026 staring right at me. 2 or 3 minutes into the new year, already 2026 officially here. So while you were toasting and singing and reveling, I was making sure that my daily planner for 2026 was ready in case anything happened. If I had to write something down for that day, it was now January 1st. I could not have my 2025 daily planner in that drawer anymore. It's history. Yeah, I know. I'm kind of scary. What can I say? But as I said, that's always fun to go through that and sort of see things that you've done, you forgot. Like, oh, that was cool. That was fun. Oh, yeah, geez. Oof. That was this year? And I always say, and I always try to encourage people, stepping into this new year, we should always have optimism, right? Regardless of what happens on a big scale. But we should always be ready and to try to do the best we can. As I always say, I've been saying this for decades, the way I look at a new year, very similar to the way I look at my daily planner, is in life's book, in your personal life's book, there's a big 2026 on the top of a page with a line underneath it. You can write that there yourself. Get a blank page. Write 2026 on the top and underline it. And now it's your job to fill up that page. The next page in your life book. Your 2026. You can't expect or wait for life to grab you. You have to go out and grab life. You have to fill up that page. Don't wait for life to fill up that page with whatever might happen to you, because it's going to. And so the goal is, there's going to be unexpected things that happen in the next 365, well, now it's almost the fifth year or whatever, but 360 days, there's going to be things that are going to happen to you that you have no idea that are going to happen, and you have to roll with those punches. Some are going to be great, some of those are not going to be so good. But they're going to be there, and we know that. That's a given. That's a reality of life. But how do you fill in those other things that you can control? There's some things in life that we cannot control. We have to deal with them, but we can't control them. And so they're going to happen, and we have to be ready to confront them and address them and handle them in the best way we can. But there's also things that we can do proactively to add to that page. We're going to get stuff that life is going to throw at us to fill up that page in 2026. But what are you going to do to fill up that page with stuff that you want to do, that you want on that page, that you want to? I always say life is about making memories. For so many years of my life, and I still do, don't get me wrong. I mean, once you're a collector of things, you're a collector of things. But I remember about 10, 12 years ago, I was on the radio actually still at WGN, and I was talking to our producer at the time, and I was saying, you know, now that I've turned a certain age, I was like, I'm going to start collecting memories. I'm going to try not to collect as many physical things. I've got so much stuff. And that's, believe me, I still do, but certainly not as much as I used to. I know that for a fact. I could see me going, no, there's no need for this anymore. So that's interesting. But there's some things I go, oh, got to have that. I can't go cold turkey, folks, okay? But I sort of was committed to saying that I'm going to, rather than collecting as many physical things, oh, that's easy, I want to collect memories. I want to collect experiences. And I really believe that over the last 10 or 12 years, I've done that. And I'm going to continue to do that. I just think about things I've done, places I've seen, that these were proactively planned and sought after, not waiting for something to happen, but making something happen. There's a difference between waiting for something to happen and making it happen. Stuff's going to happen. Stuff's going to fill up that new page that's all waiting there for us. That empty page, for all you know, for the last 5 days, maybe you've already filled stuff already. Who knows? Good for you. And maybe things have already happened, good or bad, in these 5 days. We got 360 more to go. And so let's try to fill in. Let's make things happen. So that's kind of been my credo for the last several years, is to collect memories rather than collecting things. And I have to say that I've enjoyed doing it, and it gets you out, it gets you active, it gets you alive, and it It helps you experience life as opposed to just being observing life. So at least that's my thing. You have your own things that you want to do. I'm just letting you know that some things that have helped me, if that's something that might help you, that's great. But I'm not professing that I found the keys, because I certainly don't know the keys to life. Nobody does. And those who pretend they do, I keep coming back to this line that I did a play in 2025 called Inherit the Wind. I talked about it briefly here. And it's based, you know, the film by Spencer Tracy is based on the play that talked about the Scopes Monkey Trial of 1925 with Clarence Darrow and William Jennings Bryan talking about teaching evolution in schools. And there was a law in a southern town that a teacher was arrested for teaching evolution, which was outlawed in the public schools in this Tennessee town. And I played the Clarence Darrow type character in the film. It's played by Spencer Tracy. And but there's been throughout the play, there's just a lot of people questioning their beliefs, because their beliefs are getting, with, you know, the more information that we get, the more we have to take a step back and start to analyze and reanalyze and rethink things that we once believed, because now we have new information. And those things that we were taught and believed in, and maybe were raised in, and even to our core, were based on the available information. But as time goes on, we are continually learning as a culture, as a civilization, and we get new information. And it's not always easy to rethink and forget what you or move on to a new idea. But that's the challenge that we have. And some people, especially in today's world, we're so divided right now. People just feel that their opinion, their side on an issue is not only the right one, it's the only one. There's very little discourse. And my character was saying this to a young woman who was kind of struggling with this whole idea of evolution versus the creation story and old beliefs versus new beliefs and modernism versus fundamentalism. And that's basically what the play is all about. And my character says to her, the man who has everything all figured out is probably a fool. It takes a pretty smart fella to say, I don't know the answer. And so I don't have the answer. All I can tell you is what I kind of I'm trying to live by, and it seems to be working for me to some extent, but everybody has their own goals and their own dreams and their own views of life. All I'm saying is focus on yours. Make things happen. Make memories. Make your history. Don't let your history be guided by somebody else. Make your own history. And make sure you go in the direction you want to go, because life's going to push and pull you on its own in many directions. So the goal is, how do you make something happen as opposed to waiting for something to happen? Fill that page. And hopefully, if you've been listening to me over the extended period of time, that's something that you have done. As I said, I've tried my best to fill my page as much as I could over the last year. But as I said to you earlier, some things happen that you have no control over. And so all you can do then is battle through the tough parts that life dishes you. Deal with them. Yeah, you know, you could wallow in them for a while, but make sure you get you dust yourself off and get back into the game, and then find some positives. Get out there proactively and make those things happen as opposed to waiting for them to happen. Fill that page so that when December comes, a year from now, just like you can look back at the 2025 page and say, yeah, oh, that was cool. That was cool. That was tough, but got through it. Oh, I'm so, oh man, that was neat. That's what you want to be able to do. And hopefully the fun things, the important things, the special things outweigh the bad ones. That's what we always try to look for. But I have to tell you, if you go back and look at 2025, it was a tough year. It really, there was a lot of, I don't know about you, but if you look back at the year, it made you scratch your head. Like, what? Now what? Now what? I mean, from day one, if you remember, January 1st, if you woke up, most people, you went to bed, who knows what time you went to bed, probably, 1 or 2 or 3 in the morning. But most people went to bed on New Year's Eve and then New Year's Day, January 1st, all happy and looking forward to a great new year, 2025. And most of us woke up that morning, if you weren't hungover, a few hours later, to the news that there was a homegrown terrorist attack in New Orleans on Bourbon Street in the early hours of January 1st. So 2025 started with some horrific news that there was a deliberate homegrown terrorist attack. And you saw the videos, if you remember, of a car barreling through the party-filled Bourbon Street in New Orleans. I mean, this was very just evil and grisly and deliberate, meant to hurt and kill people. When everybody is there, celebrating and reveling, especially on Bourbon Street, that's all you do there. And it's this very old, narrow street that's just filled with people, especially on New Year's Eve. My God, Bourbon Street was made for New Year's Eve, and this person that did this certainly knew that. But the year started, and then if you remember, there was also a car explosion in Las Vegas on New Year's Day. So the year started kind of like, okay, it's time to wake up and face reality here, folks. Enough of your reveling and partying. You're going to have to shake out of it, snap out of it, because there's some serious stuff going on here. Right off the bat, within hours of the new year, 2025 started with not some exciting, fun, happy news, but some really disturbing, serious news that made us think about so much, homegrown terrorism, deliberate, plotted out, murdering, picking a place, everything about that act was just really disturbing and heinous. And that's the way the year started. And then less than a week later, I think it was January 7th, we had the California wildfires. And that was dominant for almost 2 or 3 weeks. But those first couple of days, those first 2 or 3 days, it was to see the destruction going on and these fires out of control. And that was dominating. So we go from this horrendous thing that happens in New Orleans, and then we're seeing all this destruction going on in California that once again, then we find out that it actually was started by somebody. It wasn't natural. At the time, nobody was, but certainly the Santa Ana winds and everything else just made this into one of the most catastrophic things that's hit, this country in terms of just tragic loss of life and property. And, what's interesting is I haven't seen yet a follow-up. There was all this talk, because everybody, California's strong and all that stuff. But it's a year later now. It's almost a year later. This week will be a year later since those California wildfires started. And all the rhetoric and all the talk by politicians and everybody else. And I wonder just how much, I hope somebody, some news organization does some kind of a follow-up a year later. Because, there was so much talk, people were going to rebuild and
we're going to go in here and we're going to get rid of all this rubble and we're going to, you know, with the laws in terms of permits and we're going to rebuild. Nobody's moving away. Blah, blah, blah. There's all this heroic talk. And I understand that we go through that. But so often in this country, we never do the follow up. What's going on in California right now in Pacific Palisades? Is all that rubble cleaned up? Is Malibu and Pacific Palisades and those other places, are they all cleaned up and building has gone on a year later? I'm going to go out on a limb. I have no idea, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say no. Are we just going to let that sit? It's been a year now. There was a lot of optimistic, you know, go get them kind of talk, and I get that. That's what we need in the midst of a catastrophe, but we need the follow-up. We never do the follow-up. I hope somebody in California is tending to that. That can't just be forgotten. That was a horrendous event, and, you know, progress needs to be made, and I hope progress is being made. But that was a week after this New Orleans event. And then, of course, we had the inauguration of Donald Trump in January. And for some people, that was another catastrophe in some people's mind. For other people, it was a new day in America, depending on your viewpoints. I'm not going to get into that one way or the other. I'm just saying that happened in January on the heels of those things. First time in many decades that a former president was reelected for a second term. Non-consecutively, still historic. You can say whatever you want about Donald Trump one way or the other. Once again, I'm not going to get into that. But from a historic standpoint, that was historic. He's both the 45th and the 47th president. And that happened in January right off the bat. And then if you remember, a week after that or so, do you remember the plane crashes that happened in late January and early February? Like almost back to back within a week or so? The American Airlines jet and the U.S. Army helicopter crashed right near Reagan Airport, near Washington, D.C., about a week or so after the inauguration. And then a couple of days after that, there was a major plane. It was a private plane that exploded in Philadelphia. And those scenes were horrific. And it was just like, what the heck's going on? Now what? Now, I mean, January was a tough year. Or it was a tough month. As I say, 2025 was a tough year. But right off the bat, I mean, it was like, boom. You know, that was, you know, some big stuff. And then as the year continued to go on, then we had Pope Francis died for Catholics. This was a major deal, and the world was watching the conclave. Just a couple of months into the, you know, he died in late April, and then the world was kind of riveted on Rome and the Vatican for at least a couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden, the surprise of all, especially here in the Chicago area, not only do we get the first American-born pope elected, Pope Leo, but from Chicago's standpoint, he's born in Chicago. And we're still celebrating the pope here. And, you know, I was just in Italy, as I said earlier, and when I would be on these tours and things, and they would ask you, where are you from? And especially the people, you know, the locals in Italy. When I said I was from Chicago, the first thing they said was, oh, Chicago, Pope Leo. And I was like, wow, that now is what Chicago is associated with in many people's minds. You know, it's been interesting, Chicago's reputation for decades, and it was sadly deserved. It was all about Al Capone. I mean, that was Chicago for, you know, most of the 20th century was trying to live down the image of gangland, bang, 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 Al Capone. That's what Chicago was known for. It was known as the Windy City, yes. You know, known for skyscrapers, but sadly, the image of Al Capone and Chicago as this lawless, gangster-ridden, crime-ridden city, corrupt city, that was the image of Chicago. I would travel internationally, as I said, 30-some years ago, and you'd see her from Chicago, and people in Europe or around the world would say, oh, bang, bang, bang. They would make the gun, like a gun motion with their fingers and say, oh, bang, Chicago, oh, bang, 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 Al Capone, Al Capone. And what really helped, amazingly, there's still the Al Capone image that floats around Chicago. I mean, it's a part of its history. It'll never go away. But it's not as prominent as it used to be. You still hear people associate it, you know, Chicago with Al Capone, and they always will. But then, in the mid-90s and late 90s, it became Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls because of their 6 championships. And Michael Jordan really played a key role in helping to rehabilitate Chicago's image away from Al Capone. But now, just the casual walking around Italy, I mean, it's not like I did a global search here, but when I talk to people in Italy, when I said I was from Chicago, boom, Pope Leo. So you cannot discount the importance that, you know, here in Chicago, we're very proud of the leader of the Catholic Church, right? The Pope. Coming from whoever, whatever, you know, wherever a pope is from, those, that country, that city, whatever it is always take some pride and great ownership in that. But this was historic in that it was the first American pope, and people were saying there's no way that an American will ever be, you know, elected pope because of the, you know, Catholicism in America is viewed as kind of, you know, not traditional, and you know, there's other parts of the world where there's much more of a Catholic base, certainly in Latin American countries and things like that. And so, no, Americans don't have a chance. And when Robert Provost was named Pope, it was a shock to all the usual papal watchers who were making predictions as to who the next person was going to be. Many people thought it was going to be Italian after so many years of a non-Italian. We don't forget, since Pope John Paul, which was in 1980 or 81, I believe, or no, 79, no, no, in the late 70s, I'm sorry. That's when he was shot, but I think 1979 probably. Or 78, I can't remember now for sure. But my point is, it's been almost 50 years. You had a Polish pope, you had a German pope, and then you had a Latin American pope. You've not had an Italian pope since John Paul I in the late 70s. And so to have an American pope was just thought to be inconceivable. And yet here he is. And then the added bonus for people in Chicago, he's from Chicago. So that election, that whole couple of, that 1 month or so of not only the death of Francis, who was a very popular pope, very controversial in kind of his liberal views, but now the eyes are on the conclave and the voting and how, and the smoke and the whole thing, and then the shock of an American pope. And he seems to be doing a pretty good job in terms of being popular. He goes out there and he's doing a lot of masses. He's bringing back a lot of traditional things. And as I said, just mentioning I was from Chicago, boom, the first association was Pope Leo. And that was, you know, in May. And then, of course, you know, in June, there was the lawmakers in Minnesota that were killed in their homes. If you remember that, that was such another sad story. We had the Iranian bombing of the nuclear facilities, very controversial at the time in the summer. Then, of course, there was that Texas flood in July. and that wiped away an entire camp of young people. If you remember that, I think 135 people died, almost 30 campers were killed. So that was certainly sad. Here in Chicago, we had this great news earlier in the year that we just had a pope who was born and raised here in Chicago, became the pope. But then we also had a lot of controversy and a lot of anger and division when ICE came to the Chicago area, set up shop in the western suburbs here, and that's been a constant. And then there was also threats of bringing the National Guard in to help with our crime, but the ICE detentions have been a major sore point and a major, you know, put Chicago, you know, in the national and international news for all the protests as well as all the controversy that has been going on since then with the detentions. And of course, like I said, the potential National Guard coming in, you know, then of course the National Guard went into Washington, D.C. and the National Guard was brought into the, during the, some protests in L.A. during the summer, you know, so that was kind of crazy. And then of course there was the assassination of Charlie Kirk, a very well-known right-wing activist. And that story dominated. It's still dominating. We're hearing about now as his alleged murderer is now going to be starting to come to do some trial things. That was a big blow that became a major, major story. It also became a major source of, once again, some great division, you know, in this country. On the bright side, we had the ceasefire in the Hamas-Israel confrontation that's been going on and in Gaza for more than 2 years, starting on October 7th of 2023. And so far, the ceasefire is holding. The remaining living hostages that have been been held for almost 2 years were finally released. And so that was a good thing. Finally, the people were reunited with their families, but what a sad day as well. More than 100 and some people were taken hostage, and only 20 were really ultimately, or 20 or so were released. Many of them died in captivity. And so, but at least the fighting stopped, and hopefully these peace agreements will be holding. Sadly, the Ukraine-Russian war continues. We have been, even as we speak, they're trying to get, some work done. We had a fiery exchange between Donald Trump and the Ukraine President Zelensky back in February in the White House, which is going to be historic, where they were basically yelling at each other in front of the world media. But hopefully that confrontation, which has been going on now for almost 4 years. It started in February of 2020 and 2022. Hopefully that will be finally put to rest. And then, of course, there's been, so many different things. The saddest thing that ended the year, I mean, don't forget, then, of course, we had more history made in New York. Their new mayor, Zohran Mamdani, an avowed democratic socialist, some call him a communist, has now become the mayor of the largest city in the country. And so we will see now what will happen with this ideology taking hold under the leadership of our biggest country. It's going to be a very interesting experiment. We'll see what happens, but definitely historic. Then there was sadly more massacres at the Bondi Beach in Australia toward the end of the year. And then, of course, the year ended with some shocking, shocking news in mid-December to hear about the stabbing death of Rob Reiner and his wife Michelle in their home, allegedly by their son. And wow, just a shock. Rob Reiner has been a major entertainment force in this country for the last 50 years as both an actor and a producer, certainly as a director. And I spoke about him in a previous podcast. And that was just horrendous news and kind of a difficult way to end the year as well. And so, yeah, 2025 was kind of a tough year. There were some good things that happened. People were starting to lose weight a lot thanks to Ozempic and those weight loss drugs. So at least people are getting a little more healthy. We'll see. Hopefully there'll be no side effects from that. We seem to be moving more into towards space again, which I think is good. That's been on the back burner for a long time, and certainly a lot of people are Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos are trying to push the envelope and get us back into space in a major way. So there were a lot of advances made in that way and stuff. But but overall, 2025 was a tough year. And as I said, for me personally, it certainly had its high points, but there were some sad things. As I said, sadly, we lost a very dear and loved family member. I've known my wife's uncle for more than, 40 years almost, more than that, since I was a teenager. My wife and I have known each other since we were 16. And I was honored and to have been asked about 10 years ago to officiate their wedding. And so I officiated Ray and Joe's wedding. In fact, it will have been 10 years next month on Valentine's Day, on February 14th, 2016 is when I officiated their wedding. They would have been married for 10 years. They were together more than 30 years, but then when gay marriage was officially legalized, they got married, and I was honored to officiate their wedding. And so that was a tough thing to lose, especially toward the end of the year. As I said, around November 1st, Joe passed away, and we're still grieving that. It was certainly not very difficult around the holidays, and it will certainly continue to be something that we just all have to process. And as I said before, there were some other things throughout the year personally that were kind of setbacks, that were disappointments that I did have to work through. And hopefully, and some of them are still lingering, to be honest with you. But you just have to, as I said before, deal with what life gives you and then find what life can give you. Because life's going to give you things. So the idea is then what else can life possibly give us? And I think that's the important thing that you need to do. But yeah, looking forward now to 2026, I mean, what do we know about? Well, we know that within a month or so, hopefully the world will come together in some fashion. Did you even know that we have a Winter Olympics this year? Did you even know that? I was in Italy, right? I had no idea. We went to one of the stops we went to Verona, which is a beautiful city. Everybody talks about Verona because, that's where the play Romeo and Juliet takes place, in Verona. But there is so much more history to Verona than just Romeo and Juliet, which, of course, is fictional anyway. But it's such a beautiful city. It's a historic city. I'm definitely going back to Verona. I just fell in love with it. I was only there for a day, but I fell in love with it. But while we were there, our tour guide was talking to us. And, I mean, this is, you know, and I'm somewhat sports minded, but I just didn't even connect. And so she said, "Well, we're very excited here in Verona because, of course, the Olympics are going to be in Italy this year, or in 2026." And I went, "What? What Olympics?" And then she said, "In Verona, they're going to have the closing ceremony." And I'm like, wait, what? Where? Who? What? I mean, I wasn't even aware that we were having a Winter Olympics. I didn't know it was going to be in Italy. So yeah, there's at least early in the year, there's a chance for the world in some symbolic way, hopefully, that the world can come together. We know about that. We also know that that this summer in Los Angeles, there will be the World Cup again. And so that's exciting, as obviously, you know, soccer and international soccer or football, whatever you want to call it, has certainly, you know, just exploded in this country. It's still not quite where I think they thought it was going to be by now. I mean, back in the early 70s, there was the big push where soccer came to the United States. There was a World Soccer League here. Chicago actually won. The Chicago Sting won the championship one year. They brought over some of the greatest players in the world to play and get exposure here in the United States, including Pele, who at the time was the greatest soccer player. Now he would be akin to Messi. But there's no doubt that when the World Cup happens, it becomes, you know, major news. And so that's happening in the summer in Los Angeles, or at least around. I mean, I don't know exactly where. It's probably in various locations. But yeah, so that's going to be a big deal. And that's going to be another uniting kind of thing. We got the Olympics in February. And, in the summer, you're going to have the World Cup, which is going to be dominant for at least a couple, 3 weeks, if not a month or so. And so I would think that there's another chance for the world to get. We have so few, as I've many, many times mentioned, we have so few communal events. The World Cup is literally a global one because, you know, football or soccer is literally the biggest and most popular sport around the world. It's getting there in the United States, but certainly around the world it is. And so you know that people from around the world will be watching the World Cup. And so this is another chance for us to reunite in a very divided country, certainly, as well as in a very divided world. And then 2026, as far as the United States is concerned, huge in the political way. The midterm elections in 2026, in the next couple of months, strap in, because there's going to be a lot of political rhetoric going on. This is a huge election on many, many fronts. Basically, it will be a referendum on the Donald Trump presidency, because if the Republicans can hold the Congress, then Donald Trump will be able, till the end of his final term, be able to at least do many legislative things that he wants, because he will have had, or he'll have the Senate and the House passing bills that he wants, or certainly supporting bills that he wants. But if the Democrats take over, then you could pretty much say that that's going to be the end of the Trump agenda, because the Democrats are going to block everything. They've been trying to block everything for the last 2 years, but they haven't had the votes to do it. But if they have the votes to do it, so this is a very consequential election. I mean, you know, Trump's election in 2024 was controversial and consequential, and now this election even has greater ramifications, because it will either be the extension of the Trump agenda for the next 2 years, or it will be the end of the Trump agenda for the next 2 years. And basically, he will be kind of a lame duck president, and we'll see how he deals with that if that happens. So in my daily planner of life here, these are just a few things that we know of. This is what I'm talking about. We know of a few things in this year. Now, what else is going to happen in 2026? We have no idea, just as we had no idea that not all of those things that I just mentioned that happened in 2025, and there were certainly other ones. I mean, remember the puffy combs, trial with the sex trafficking and all this Jeffrey Epstein file stuff, and Taylor Swift got engaged and the world stopped. I mean, there was a lot of different things that went on as well on the pop culture world, but we lost some very beloved celebrities. Robert Redford, the controversy about Gene Hackman passing away with his wife in a very kind of tragic, home kind of a thing. And then, of course, I said before, Rob Reiner's death, very dark and grisly. So no way you can, you can predict any of those things. But we do know there's a few things. We know there's a Super Bowl coming up. That's always exciting, right? And in Chicago, everybody's excited for the possibility of the Bears making a good run and who knows? I mean, they've had a miraculous season. I already talked about how I was wrong. The only question is now, can the miracles continue into the playoffs when they actually start to play some really good teams? We'll see. But there's a lot of hope for that. But we've got the Super Bowl in February. We've got the Winter Olympics that will kind of bring people together. We've got the World Cup in the summer, and then we're going to have this big election in November, and who knows what else. And that's what makes, I guess, living every year and living life exciting and interesting, is who knows. And hopefully the good stuff will outweigh the bad stuff. For some people, for you perhaps, or for some people, hey, 2025 will be one of the greatest years of their lives. Maybe some things happened to you, or you know some people that they had the greatest year they've ever had. And for some others, I know, as I said, on a global or a national basis, it was a tough year. A lot of odd things happening, tragic things. We had some of these horrific, events that were happening where, not only were massacres, but people were getting, killed and on public transportation, just randomly. It was a tough year. It was a tough year. And it's okay to say that. I mean, that's reality. It was a tough year. And so hopefully, getting through 2025 on some of these things that were very tough to deal with, especially they were almost like, as I said before, boom, 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 boom. Life and tragedy helps put calluses on our character, but we have to be careful, because those same tragedies can also crush your soul. So you have to make sure that it's good to build a little toughness to get through things, but don't let those things absorb you too much, because tragedy on a regular basis can also lead to some very bad things mentally and personally. So 2025, tough year. Some good things happened. Some weird things happened. 2026, we look ahead as we always do, with optimism, with hope, and as I said, with a blank piece of paper in front of us. It's your job, it's our job, to fill that page with memories that we can look back with and say, glad I did that. That was fun. That was great. But you got to make it happen. Don't wait for it. 2026. We're coming to get you. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNradio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And of course, you can always go out there and tell your friends, tell your family, tell anyone who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. Hope you enjoyed episode number 502. I'm Jim Toronto. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. From the end of my mind to your ears. 2026.